Members of the audience, my name's Debbie Smith and I'm the Managing Partner of PwC, and I'm very honoured to have this role here to moderate the discussion today. Premier, congratulations on leading a majority government. I think this time last year when we sat here, I was banning questions from the audience about when the next election was on, so I guess we don't have to do. So I'm sure there's lots of questions in the audience. So actually what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you all to raise your hand if you have a question, and a microphone will be brought to you. If you don't mind just standing so that we can see up here, because it's a little bit difficult to see into the audience and state your name and the organisation that you're from, then we'll certainly be glad to take your question. But I'm going to lead off while you're all thinking about where you start from that very fulsome address. And actually, I guess we can't really sit up here unless we kind of reflect on what's happening at the federal level, Premier. We're in our seventh Prime Minister in a decade. And so I'm really interested in what that means for COAG and where you actually think the state will be in 2020 and your role in that state-federal relationship, and indeed whether we'll get more money out of it.
Thanks, Debbie. Well, of course, COAG is due to happen in October, where we haven't yet got confirmation from the Prime Minister that it will take place. The next meeting of COAG, it will be the third Prime Minister that I would have sat at a COAG meeting with. And, you know, my attitude is that when I meet with the Prime Minister, I want the best share that I can get for Queensland. And unfortunately, we haven't been getting that fair share. So we see billions of dollars being spent down south, and we pay taxes just like everybody else. And it would be good to see a bit more of a working partnership with the federal government in terms of delivering the infrastructure that we need. So, for example, we're getting on and building the Cross River Rail, but, of course, we have not got one single dollar coming from the federal government. So there seems to be a preoccupation with New South Wales and Victoria, but that doesn't stop us for continuing to take the fight to the federal government. And I might just reflect and just say that when I travel overseas as well, for my position as Premier and Minister for the Trade, that people want stability at a federal level. And it's just something that's not there at the moment.
And how does that affect brand Queensland when you actually are overseas? Do people understand the different levels of government and the role really that the state government can play?
I think, yes, it does, in terms of Queensland is quite well recognised. And I'll just use this one example. When I was in Japan, when Malcolm Turnbull took over from Tony Abbott, I was immediately asked if I could meet with the acting Prime Minister of Japan to give the Japanese government an assurance about the contracts with Queensland. So I think what you're seeing now is a bit more of a build-up of relationships with those governments and the states, because they do a lot of dealings with the states because they're not getting that certainty from a federal level. And frankly, I think that's what we do need.
So in this year's budget, we saw a commitment of 75% of spend outside of the southeast Queensland corner. How are we going with that, and what role can the rest of the room play in terms of helping grow those regional economies?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because, of course, we're such a decentralised state, and for people coming from other parts of Australia, it's a bit hard to get their heads around that. And I was just reflecting the other day that if I go to Townsville, then people in Cairns say, how come you haven't been here? And you sort of have to spread yourself across the whole of the state. And with that becomes, different challenges of those regional communities. We have a large infrastructure spend. We've allocated $45 billion in this budget over the next 4 years. And, of course, most of that is in regional Queensland. So we know how important the Bruce Highway is, our network of beef roads, and, of course, the challenges of getting the ports upgraded as well for the future growth that our state is experiencing. So we're putting together, harnessing, of course, our traditional strengths, but also the emerging technologies and innovation industries. And we are getting ready for the next wave of tourism, for investment that we are going to see in Queensland, the likes of which none of us have seen in our generation before.
Okay, so I'm going to see if there's any questions coming from the floor. Oops, we've got somebody already. I'd hit table 54, I think it is.
Hi, Premier. It's Mitch Evans from SEEK. Unsurprisingly, I'm going to ask you a jobs-related question. Given there is a massive investment in infrastructure, we're seeing an upswing in mining, we've got health and aged care, NDIS, driving a lot of activity in Queensland. A lot of our data is showing that we're already seeing a significant restriction in those particular verticals. What can we do immediately to attract talent, especially given that our southern states are booming at the moment? How do we get them back into Queensland? And what role can the local government do to drive that?
Yeah, look, thank you very much. And we have been very focused on our job programs, whether it's Back to Work, Skilling Queenslanders for Work. Of course, I mentioned in my address about the free TAFE with the courses. I think there is going to be a huge explosion in terms of the workforce that is needed for the future. And that's why I've already had my Minister for Skills and the Minister for State Development and the Minister for Innovation and Jobs Queensland have been going throughout this state talking to employers and employees about what is the workforce that they need for the future. This will culminate in the Skills Summit that we will have before the end of the year. And I really would ask people in this room to play a key role, and we'll be working also with the local governments, about really identifying those industries where we actually don't have the workforce at the moment, or B, how we can generate interest in those workforces as well. And what we are seeing, especially in our regional communities, when we first came to office, there was very high unemployment in those regional centres. That's coming down. And as I travel around the state, I'm meeting people coming up to me saying how proud they are they've got an apprentice, how proud they are they've got a program, a job through our Back to Work. And we all know how important it is to have a job because you can provide for your family. But we're going to have thousands and thousands of new jobs coming through. And we need to get ready. We need to get ready for the future of that work. So we want to work with you.
Someone down here.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Premier. Craig Fenton from PwC. You spoke about the enthusiastic lead that Queensland's taken in energy. And it's definitely having traction in terms of the transition from renewables and feeling it in people's power bills. How do you think the other states are going in terms of, are they learning from that? Are they following? Is it a need for a nationally consistent approach ultimately?
We've heard business and industry say for a long time that there needed to be a national energy policy framework. And what we've seen over the last few weeks is basically the federal government has walked away from any resemblance of a national energy framework. In Queensland, we have a clearly defined Queensland energy plan. And as I said, we've got the youngest fleet of coal-fired power stations. We have this huge pipeline of interest of getting involved and building our renewables. We're putting downward pressure on wholesale prices, and we are seeing some good news, some light at the end of the tunnel, where there's less pressure on families with their bills because of the policy parameters that the government is setting. Our renewable energy target of 50% is showing a clear policy framework that is encouraging investment. And I think you would have read in some of the papers today, Daniel Andrews in Victoria is now moving towards more investment in renewables. But here in Queensland, we're the only ones that are opening up our gas reserves on the eastern seaboard. So Queensland is doing the heavy lifting. And now we're taking it to the next level by looking at hydrogen. How do we harness the solar that is on tap here in Queensland, convert it into the ability to be able to store it and transport it to Japan? Japan is looking to Queensland for its future energy needs. This is incredibly exciting stuff, and this is a brand new industry for Queensland. Just like renewables, there was barely a renewables industry before my government came to office. Our policies and our plan are encouraging investment into Queensland.
Probably got time for one more, if there's any other question in the room. We've got one here at table 7.
Premier Keith Ritchie from Siemens. Congratulations on Queensland winning the Land 400 project. There's a lot of skills that will need to come into the state to deliver that project. How transferable are those skills to other industries?
Oh, thank you. And that's a really good question. And can I acknowledge everybody that's been in that partnership to help get that Rheinmetall contract here? And as I said, that's like an initial, you know, $2 billion investment. It's going to mean a whole lot of jobs in that whole supply chain that will mean long-term advanced manufacturing, secure jobs in Queensland. I cannot underestimate to each and every person in this room how important it is that Queensland secured that contract over Victoria. And if we can get the next phase as well, that whole corridor from Ipswich all the way down to Enoggera, it has the population that's needed. We can upskill a workforce very quickly, and that is the planning that is underway now. So you have, and I do want to acknowledge all of my ministers that are here today. Some are, the others that aren't here are travelling across the state, and the treasurer's travelling at the moment in relation to selling our budget overseas. But my ministers are probably some of the most engaging people you'll ever meet, and they want to hear from you. You will always have an open door to meet with any of my ministers to discuss your ideas. But it is absolutely crucial that we get that my government made the decision to back Rheinmetall, and Rheinmetall backed us, and we will see hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs created as a direct result of having that centre of excellence here in Queensland.
Thank you. I'm just going to give one more plug for you, Premier, around the Queensland Drought Appeal reception that you're hosting next Thursday night. I imagine you've been around the state and seen a lot of drought-affected areas, so tickets are still on sale, I imagine. So, look, thank you very much. We've run out of time, as we always do. It was great to hear your economic plans for the state, and indeed how broad they actually are, and the interesting opportunities that certainly await all of us here in this room. I wish you all for the best for the year ahead, and I'd like to hand over to Peter Varghese, who's going to offer the vote of thanks.